this on the AMBO news.
Yeah, Father's timing me again. I'm still not at your record. I hope you paid particularly close attention to the readings this morning, because my inferences are rather subtle. It's not the obvious message, or maybe that message you've heard before when it came to this ordinary Sunday and ordinary time. In our readings, we hear of three ordinary men. Ezekiel, he was a Jewish temple priest in exile, a lowly human being. As a matter of fact, when God speaks to him, he calls him Son of Man. It's not a very distinctive title. It's putting Ezekiel in his place. Ezekiel is a man without a country, without the temple. He has no status. Then we have Paul, persecutor of the early church, the conservative Orthodox Jew until he was blinded by the light and knocked off his horse, hit by the proverbial 2x4. He was anything but ordinary after that encounter. Blinded by contempt, the townspeople of Nazareth couldn't see Jesus as anything more than that lowly carpenter, son of Mary. You see, in the eyes of their peers, Ezekiel, Paul, and Jesus were just ordinary. So two words resonate with me upon pondering these readings for the last couple weeks: ordinary and faith. So I've been pondering ordinary faith. And accompanying that, this weekend is the 14th Sunday in ordinary time. We're about halfway through the ordinary season of the liturgical year. So why not talk about the ordinary? I see Margaret's eyelids are already growing heavy. Sister's head's beginning to bob. But that's the issue, isn't it? We hear ordinary, we think, boring. Really? And then you jack me up a little bit here, Deacon. Yet the ordinary faith I speak of is far from ordinary, far from boring. Why? Because that's where God lives. God lives in the ordinary. He reveals his existence and waits for us in the every moment of our everyday life, waiting, ready to capture our attention. Why? Because he desires us. He desires you and me as unique and extraordinary. Each and every one of us, all creation exists because all of creation is a revelation of God's love. Therefore, all of us, each of us, all of creation is evidence of God's love and presence. Think about that. You are evidence of God's presence in this world. And God is present in all of it, the ordinary and the extraordinary. And no matter how ordinary, he desires us every second of every minute of every hour of every day. He desires us every breathing moment of our lives. Now, how boring is that? Yet, do I desire God in every moment of every day? Do I exist and wait for God in every moment of every day? If I did, God and I would be bumping into each other all the time. And how fantastic would that be? How extraordinary would that be? Life would be like a game of seek and seek, not hide and seek. Imagine how fun and extraordinary life would be. But rarely do I play seek and seek with my Creator. Most of the time I'm unconscious. I'm unaware of the immensity of His love for me, His ever-presence. My life is on autopilot, controlled by forces other than God, controlled by my reactions rather than my actions. My commitments, my choices, they tend to dictate my attitude, my availability, my consciousness, my awakeness. How can I be present to God when I'm not even present to others or present to myself? I'm so caught up in the ordinary that I don't see or am aware of the ordinary. So how can I see and be aware of God's ever-presence? I gotta have blame to point, right? Surely it's something else other than me. And I can think in many ways of defining that root cause. But I really think that root cause is the problem with being content, being comfortable. My life is comfortable. My faith is comfortable. I'm too comfortable. And that's a dangerous place to be. Being too comfortable can lead to being stagnant, being complacent. And ordinary faith is poisoned by complacency, and it often leads to a terrible place called apathy, a lonely and dark place for the soul. So I made a choice. I stepped back away from my ordinary life, and I took time to see my life with a broader focus, a different lens. You know what? I saw and recognized my life as an extraordinary blessing. It was at those moments I became humbled and elated at the same time. What did I do to deserve this? And how blessed I am that I have it. I'm liberated from the bonds of being too comfortable, being complacent. I feel closer to God, and I'm appreciative that I'm alive and I have life through Him. You see, God doesn't often visit us in the unusual and the spectacular, hitting us over the head with that 2x4. As a friend of mine says, he needs a 6x6. So he doesn't miss God's message of salvation. Most often, God visits us in the very ordinary circumstances of our lives through ordinary people that we meet who are faithful. When that happens, that's when God's face begins to come into focus. With each of those He's given me to love, with each and every ordinary moment He's put in my life, His face becomes colorful, beautiful. A tapestry that gains more clarity as He weaves more of the ordinary of my ordinary life into the picture. The blessings become evident. God's love becomes evident. God's presence becomes clearer. My faith, God's gift to me through the ordinary, begins to expand in awareness and lift me from my contentment and complacency. And I can relate to Ezekiel when he said, "As the Lord spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet, got me up and attentive." God is with us in the simple things, in the ordinary. So I began looking at the ordinary more openly and expectantly during the past few weeks. And here are just a few of the occasions where I found God waiting for me in people and places where, as Psalm 121:23 praises, I found my eyes fixed on the Lord. State Road 9 being open all the way from Columbus to Shelbyville. The flight of a barn swallow. The design of a dragonfly. In the eyes of my 21-month-old granddaughter, Gabrielle, as her eyes widened with excitement when she asked me to read for the 100th time her favorite book, "I Love You, Stinky Face." In the voice of her soon-to-be 8-year-old sister, Noelle, as she shared with a complete stranger last Saturday all she knows about the tarantula hawk, which, by the way, I learned is neither spider nor bird. And beware, the next time you see Noelle, she may want to tell you all about the tarantula hawk. At the dinner table with my wife, Judy, when we are still, and I see the great blessing that she is to me and my family. The past 38 years have been marvelous, and they've flown by way too quickly. And I quietly thank God for her, and maybe much to her disappointment, pray for another 38 years. And there are so many more I could share, and we'd probably go well into starting time of Mass at St. Joe's, And I wouldn't want Father Mike to get any letters or emails complaining about the length of my homilies, or the Archbishop getting them either. But I want to keep the message simple and clear. I highly recommend you become very acquainted with your ordinary life, with your ordinary faith, because there's nothing ordinary and everything extraordinary about those. It's simply quite extraordinary. So I pray, gracious and loving Father, grant that our eyes become fixed upon you in the ordinary. May we have eyes of faith that can see in each day we are being surprised by you, surprised by joy. Give us the grace to find you in the ordinary circumstances of our ordinary lives as we learn to trust in you. Teach us to find all the ways that surprise us by your everyday presence, by your joy, as we learn to have faith in you. And help us to be still and know that you are God and see your presence in our ordinary lives. We ask all this through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord gives, and the Lord gives, and the Lord gives. Blessed be the Lord. And the church says, I'm okay on time.